Rocha is younger, and he may present more of a threat. But I like Davinson as well. I wasn't upset with that matchup.
I wasn't necessarily upset, but it was one of those things. At that point, Bud had already been out of the ring 13 months.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? With this, it's like, yo, we see him back. He's going to be fighting somebody who fought, what, 3 times last year?
Yep,
he's already had a fight this year and won by highlight real knockout. You know, I don't mind this fight at all. We kind of saw this coming. We've covered this. We saw the change in the rankings in the WBO where Virgil was number one. But he obviously has chosen to go a separate route, the WBA route. He will be facing Amantis Stanonius April the 28th, if I'm not mistaken, or the 29th, actually, I think. And that'll be in his home area of Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he is challenging for a WBA regular title. Why go for the regular when you could have went for the full thing? You know, once again, they felt he wasn't ready. So,
what did it say here? World welterweight, him and Stanionis for the WBA world welterweight title. Doesn't say. Okay, so it's not the super.
It's not. I mean, no, absolutely not. That is in the hands of Errol Spence after he unified with Ugas. Which really quick, bro, let me pull that up to show the people. Just have to acknowledge because the champ, bro, that's fucked up, man. He broke into his house.
Spence?
Nah, Ugas.
Ugas, yes, I did see where they broke in Ugas' house.
Bro, that's just so
And he's
so
here in Vegas, right? He's here in Vegas.
That's so unfortunate. Fellas, whenever you can I get a screen share?
I want to see that myself as well.
Boom.
I like this screen share. It got your hands in it. There we go.
Yeah.
I mean, was it a pit bull that broke in? Oh, man. It's like they ain't taking nothing. They just messed up stuff, threw things everywhere.
Bro, so they took his belts. They took a couple purses, a couple designer purses, broke into his car, but they took his championship belts.
You got to be brave, man, to do something that stupid.
We're good, guys. Yeah, it's fucked up, man. They took his belts, man. It's fucked up.
Mm.
But, yeah, so obviously the super is in the hands. That is in the hands of
Mr. Spence.
So you have Virgil Ortiz fighting for that regular belt. Cool. Thankfully, the WBO did the right thing. Dropped him from the rankings. Rocha was three. So Thurman was above Rocha. But it looks like Thurman's going the WBC route. And he's in line. He is obviously the mandatory to Errol Spence. Looks like they're doing the bout at 54. That's what we've been told. That's what the talks have been. So the WBO did the right thing. They dropped both Virgil and Keith. And Bum Rocha, rightfully so, he is in line. He's not turning down the fight. So, look, man, I'm all for it. I think the people, you could do polls, right?
I can do
polls. Yeah, my God, because, you know, I can't do polls.
I got you.
Yo, do the polls.
So what question do
the
you...
The question is...
Are they okay with the fight? Their prediction of the fight?
Are you willing to pay $50? For Bud versus Rocha, that you know, for
but it's gonna be on DAZN.
Pay per view is Bud.
They only had what Canelo pay per views on DAZN, right?
Yes, and now the Tank Ryan, obviously, that's at least on paper.
Let's ask more so a price range. Are you okay with? Because is it confirmed? Is it gonna be $49.99 or $50? Or,
I'm saying 50. I think that we saw Bud at 40 last time against Avenesian. This is Oscar De La Hoya, the people, you know. $50 pay-per-view. I could see this. You know, they're going to have to put it on pay-per-view to pay Bud. And I think we're seeing Oscar honestly take a step forward in the right direction.
Mm.
Bro, he's made the biggest fight in boxing right now in Tank and Ryan.
he's going to bring, there's a lot of people that always said, oh, I'll never get DAZN. I don't want DAZN, dead DAZN, calling it all type of names. I think he's going to bring, Bud Crawford will bring a lot of those fans who never would have purchased DAZN to DAZN.
So you don't think they do a pay-per-view?
DAZN pay-per-view.
Yeah, DAZN pay-per-view.
Yeah, so based off what you was telling me earlier that they did the Canelos and then they're going to do the Ryan and Tank Davis, I agree that, yes, this probably would be the DAZN pay-per-view. But I think people will sign up as well. They should apply a discount for people who are subscribers.
They take like $10 off, I think.
Yeah. So
they take like 10 off.
I'm going to redo my subscription because my subscription expired. I didn't re-sign back up. I'm going to sign back up, and
what?
I'll be purchasing their pay-per-view as well.
Oh, no. Nah. I ain't going to lie.
You ain't going to lie what?
I need more. I ain't paying. Bro, I'm not paying them $25 a month. But let me tell you something.
They give us cars almost every weekend.
Let me tell
bro.
You something, brother. I pay $32.
Okay.
For $32, I get Hulu, ESPN Plus, and Disney. That's a bundle. Then I add on through Hulu, Showtime, and Stars. So for those five, guys, our guest is here. For those five, I pay $32.
I mean, what package is this that you're using? Like, what are you... That package is through who or through what provider?
Through Hulu. They got
okay, so all that's through Hulu.
Yeah, they got the ESPN Disney bundle.
And then
through Hulu, I added on Showtime. Obviously, Showtime got boxing.
Right.
And then I added on Stars. You know, I've been watching BMF and Power and, you know, Raising Canaan, and so I have Stars.
So you thoroughly entertained over there, apparently.
Yes.
But
$32, brother. So you telling me that for $25 a month, you think I'm going to pay you for some fights that's high?
I had to check my finances.
Bro, check this. HBO, I had to think about this. HBO and Showtime, when they were both on at the same time, I was paying monthly.
We got a guest outside.
I was paying monthly for HBO and for Showtime. One was $10 a month. The other one was $15. That's $25. You know how many great fights those two networks combined brought me?
But that was the old. That yesterday's price ain't today's price, though,
I
Danny.
I hear you. I'm just saying I'm going to have to hop on somebody's account till I become a believer. Look, and I went through this with Netflix, right? Let me tell you something. I used to have a saying. No, hit me up.
And the poll is out, by the way.
I used to have a saying, and we have a guest after this saying. Well, we're going to cut to a Kenichi break commercial, bring in our guest. But I used to have a saying, bro. My experiences with women was like a Netflix trial.
Mm.
Never lasted more than 30 days because Netflix did not put out good enough content to keep me as a month-to-month customer. But I ain't, now? Bro, I'm fucking hooked, bro. Netflix all the fucking way. They have Drive to Survive. That's what got me hooked on F1. Then they have...
I'm going to watch that just because of you. I've been talking to Keith as well.
No, it gets better. Okay. It gets better. Well, now, I don't know if it gets better. But it gets better because it's more than just that.
Tell me
bro,
about
they
it.
Bro, they got, I think it's called Full Swing. It's the same shit, but with the PGA Tour. Bro,
yeah,
you know
that
how
sound kind of boring.
No, bro, it's so much money in golf and so much drama. They all divas, too. They all divas, too. It ain't as much like Formula One, but let me tell you, I'm all in on this shit. It's pretty dope. But look, we got a guest. We'll be right back. Shout out to Kenichi Break. Go get you a pair of headphones.
Yeah.
You know, use your discount code TBV. Tell them we sent you. And we'll be back.
You know what though?
I can hear them from here.
Oh, it looks better with the headphones?
You'll also be able to hear us.
You have volume control right here.
Where's that? Right here?
Yep.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm sorry? Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Into the mic, you can talk over here.
What's that?
Remember, talk directly into the mic. You're talking over here in the mic. We're talking.
So I'm talking to that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yo, we back, we back, we back. Bo, we got my boy Frank in the building.
American Love Machine.
Yo, Frankie, what's up with you, champ?
What's up, guys? I'm a bit underdressed. I see everybody that comes on here at the Win, at Blue Wire, they dress up. You know, I saw Flick.
They
Flick back.
A lot of those guys visiting, though. You here, you in,
yeah, you
the,
are,
you on the grind.
That is true.
I got stains on my jeans. And
me,
you know,
too.
I mean, fresh out the gym.
Yeah, but you got the Rocky hat on. I got the coincidental. I didn't even know you were coming.
Top rank hat
on, you know, went well with, I think this is a 1991 Germany kit.
That's fire.
Yeah,
you should see the pants, too. He got orange pants on.
Yeah, I bought this for a trip that I had to Germany. Pandemic fucked it up. You know, coming back from the desert. You've been out there. You've been to Germany. So I've had some fun in K-Town, and I bought this. I thought it was going to be part two. And, yeah, bro, but what's up, man? What's cooking over there at the Top Rank Gym?
You know you're there. You're there with me every day, bro.
I am there.
You know, it's good to see Bo. I ain't see Bo in a hot minute.
I'm gonna
Bo
back.
Looking good, bro. That beard's looking nice.
I'm going to be back over there working out with Leon. So yeah,
let's get it in.
You and Leon, actually.
My man, Coop, Leon Cooper.
Yep.
Shout out to him. But, yeah, no, shout out to Germany. Dope shirt. A lot of people underestimate Danny's drip. Danny does put – I mean, on regular days, he don't put – too much thought, but it is underappreciated on regular days. I mean, you see him fight night, look at some of his old pictures and social media. You know, it's a drip god over there.
He got styles. He got flavors. He's done everything but come out like Rolly with the fur with no shirt on up under.
Well,
you've done
coming.
Everything but that.
Yeah, never the fur with no shirt on.
When you start working out, you got to come out with the fur with no shirt on.
I don't know,
that I'm looking specific for that, but
I don't know if that's really my thing. I'm gonna be honest with you. I've seen Wilder do it as well. Wilder looks fly with it, so much so that it made me go and purchase the same pea coat that he had on. It was for the Wilder Ortiz 2 grand arrivals at the MGM Grand. I'll actually pull it up to show the people.
They pulled up in the rows. He had his car flown in.
But,
I remember that fight.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
He brought his cars all the way from fucking Alabama to Vegas for fight week. You know.
So you're telling me if you get a six-pack, you're not going to pull that off?
But look, I'm going to tell you something before we get back to boxing.
Okay.
I never cared about my gut. I'm going to be honest with you. I used to look at my stomach and my fatness as a sign of wealth, as a sign of money. No, I promise
That's
you.
That's one
bro.
Way to look at
I
it.
I promise you.
Okay.
I promise you. Bro, we was eating good. Steaks, ribs, lobster. Bro, but I was overdoing it. But I didn't care. At the club, I promise you, my shirt's coming off.
I've seen some videos of you.
Bottles of 1942 coming out. Fat asses.
You got the hairy chest?
Yeah, I got some hair on the chest, some hair on the gut.
Essential.
You get what I'm saying? As long as I had the bottle in my hand, bro, I felt like I was taking over the world.
Felt like a god.
Bro, I felt like Tony Montana on top of the stairs overlooking where he had the globe that said the world is yours.
Yeah.
But now that I've lost the weight, I'm going to be honest with you. I look at myself, and it's like, yo, every morning I'm hitting my push-ups, I'm hitting my sit-ups.
You're going to get it right.
Because now it's like, yo, I want to get a look to myself.
That's my mission now, Frank. When I come back to Top Rank to work out, of course, do work, help out as well, but to exclusively work out push-ups, dips, pull-ups, things of that nature. Danny going to be in the cut trying to duck the work. We're going to get Danny in shape as well.
I'm with it. Let's
Day
go.
Day one when I got here, Danny was 250-some pounds, and I stood him on the scale. I got it on video, got him trying to do pull-ups and different things like that, and he's 360 dead, but now we're going to get him in shape. He lost the weight. Now it's time to get in shape.
Now it's time to get in shape. Y'all, I got to ask you, though, came out, we've been covering this. We've kind of foreseen this coming. But Rocha they have 20 days to agree to a deal. WBO came out. If not, goes to PersBit. What's your thoughts?
All right, let's do it. Run it. You know, I'm not too familiar with Rocha except for what he did his last fight. So, I mean, I'm not.
He's only lost to Rashidi Ellis. That was back in 2020. Look, I said, and we've been having these, we've had a few different sanctioning body guys on, and we're like, yo, if your number one turns down the fight, why the fuck he's still at number one? Right. If the 2, 3, and 4 is turning damn shots at the title, what are we doing? Why are we there? So I think the WBO got it right in the sense that Virgil was number one. He's previously turned down a shot, and now he's fighting for another sanctioning bodies belt. And then Keith looks like he's fighting Earl for the BC. So it's like, fuck you guys doing something else. Let's bump the next available guy up who does want to fight. I like the fight. I don't mind it. I think it's something different for Bud. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't mind him going to do one fight over there with Oscar.
Yeah, he could go do two, but Bud's different, bro. Like, I don't know if it's Alexis Rocha is, you know, I mean, I don't have a dog in the fight, so I don't have to sit here and pretend and promote it and try to make Alexis Rocha a credible
right.
opponent for Bud. But Bud's different, bro.
It sounds like you weren't impressed by what you've seen in the one fight that you watched of Rocha. It don't sound like you was too
No,
impressed.
He knocked the guy silly, right?
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, honestly, I didn't really watch the fight. I just saw the highlights.
Right, me too.
And I take credit for watching the full fight. But, no, I guess that's good. And these guys are, you know, Golden Boy wants to put him up there. And if he's willing to take the fight against Crawford, yeah, so be it. But I don't see anything other than just him Bud ripping through this guy.
You think we ever see Bud in an Earl fight?
I don't give a shit, to be honest with you. I kind of lost the luster for it. I mean, when it happens and it actually gets signed, sealed, delivered, then I'll be excited about it. But, you know, that's that age old question that every media asks. And I think it's just, I don't get asked it enough, but I'm tired of it.
I hate when they finally make the fight after someone loses. They'll take all the luster and allure out of it after one of the fighters lose. I want to see them go at it with the O's, man.
But what if they do go at it with the O's, but you just said that you'll get excited once the sign seal delivered. What if that happens, but it's not for Undisputed? Is it the same?
I think it's just a fight. I don't think the title means anything for them too. They're, you know, they're the two best welterweights of this generation. You know, after Pacquiao, after Floyd Mayweather. So let's see it. That's what we want to see. Let's see. I don't think any titles, I don't think the weight class matters. I mean, it's a shame it won't be at 147, but, you know, Undisputed or not, it's still the fight.
That is a shame.
Yo, so I've been in the gym. The gyms have been a bit busy.
Shout out J.J. Marino.
J.J. Mariano?
He moved here?
Yeah, he moved here.
I was asking him that last time he was visiting and training. Why didn't he move? He said he was thinking about it. And then I looked on his story today and on yours, and he actually made that move. So I'm happy to see that he's taking the next step to advance his career by moving here to get the best work.
He's serious.
One of the best gyms.
Yeah, he's serious. So, yeah, no, he fought on two of our cards. And, you know, JJ is a great, great person. I know him, obviously, personally, and he came into the gym. He let me know he was moving from Reno down here, and I said, yo, you're more than welcome. So he's just getting acclimated, so it's been a few weeks, and I'll tell you, the guy works hard. He goes out there, he puts in the work, and doesn't stick around really bullshit like the rest of us do. But
you said in public. So it was on the Instagram. You said that you were going to get him from like kind of hiding and being more so of a behind the scenes type of fighter in the gyms to being more so on the front stage. I can't remember exactly what you said, but that was what you was pretty much saying.
Bro, what the fuck are you talking about, man?
You got to look at the story.
So I had said...
I didn't know we was having Frank. I would have paid more attention.
Guys, let me get a screen share. This is the code in question that I was referring to.
Uh-oh.
Whenever they get a... This is the Wilder code that... See, he pulled it off shirtless. You see, he pulled it off shirtless.
You got to have a woman with you, Danny, when you do this.
Yeah, see... I ain't got no woman.
Yeah,
so,
you can't have like four fellas.
Or be by yourself.
I went and bought that same coat. I went and bought the same coat. I have not, you know.
Worn it. In public.
In public. And, one of these days. We're good, guys.
You can wear that to the Ryan Tank fight.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be cold enough. April 22nd.
He don't have on a shirt.
Yeah, but I ain't going to have no woman with me at the fight. We're good, guys. But, Frank, who else been impressing you over there at the gym? A lot of guys in there?
Oh, everybody. It's hard to – I mean, I'm going to try to run some guys down. I mean, who from the gym watches the show? I want to make sure I give them a shout-out so they don't feel bad. You know, the ones that don't watch the show, I ain't going to mention them. But, yeah, first and foremost, undisputed lightweight champ, Devin Haney. So, you know, he's been doing his thing.
Pre-camp, getting ready for Loma.
I mean, you pre-camp, full camp, a week before the fight, the way that guy works, you wouldn't know the difference.
Yo, I just got to ask, Frank, because we both were there, bro. And, you know, I'm not the first one to say it. Like, it's not like I'm just breaking some secrets. But, like, I just know that Paro's fight was all of a sudden canceled a couple days after he posted that picture with Devin.
Mm-hmm.
Did he spar anybody after Devin that you know of?
I'm not aware. I'm not aware. Mm. I'm not gonna. It was world class sparring.
World class
work.
Yes, sir.
You know, stuff happens. I know Liam likes to get down and dirty every time he spars. He's a hard worker. Like I said, elite at 140. You know, I think barring any injuries, I think he'll be a world champion soon. So, you know, and a great, great person. He's been on here. I listened to the show on here, and how can you not love the guy? You know, just the stuff he says. He's, you know, very personable. But
yo, and then, man, I got to give him so much credit. He moved from fucking Australia to Vegas.
Come here. Yeah.
Come get the best work.
Man, so. Come get the best work. Shout out to Liam, man. Hopefully we wish him a speedy recovery.
So I hope not. I hope it wasn't. And I know Devin hopes it wasn't there. But, you know, it's boxing, man. You know, it's not always – maybe it's an accumulation of – many sparring sessions, and maybe it happened there. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't the last sparring, but I did hear, and I don't know maybe if, you know, I should say this, but he's all right. He's going to be all right. I don't think it's as serious as they thought it was, but you got to speak to his team. That's just, you know, speculation that I heard that whatever report initially came out, it wasn't as bad
as bad.
That. But, you know, injury, I guess this fight is postponed, and looking forward to seeing Liam Paro back in action.
For sure, just got the two division world champion in town, Shakur Stevenson.
Shakur better be watching this. Shakur, yeah, shout out Shakur Stevenson.
Oh, he got to be training. He got to be training right now.
Nah.
Running, eating something.
Yo, it's busy. It's busy. Yeah. So I'll run down. So, like, right now we start Devin, obviously Shakur, Michaela Mayer just hopped in town. There's Jared Anderson. I guess Keyshawn Davis is coming in, Antoine Cobb. So, I mean, just that group alone, not Michaela, but Shushu's here. I mean, all the Vargas brothers are getting to work in. Andres Cortez back in the gym.
Gabe Flores is in there.
Jalen
Tony
Phillips.
Tony Yoka.
I want to see the energy when I wish I was there when did Antoine and Jalen bumping each other there.
No, we got to keep that.
Yeah,
No. Not as far as them clashing. I don't want them clash, but I know would have been the low amount of fights that they both have, having two draws together already. I think they're gonna run it back again for the third time early in their career.
I think it's next. I don't know for certain, but I think the trilogy is next. So it's crazy. Both guys combined have less than 10 fights, and they're about to have a trilogy.
Right.
The same.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I've never seen nothing like that in boxing.
They say every great fighter, one of the goals they strive for is having the trilogy. So there you go. They got that one out the way early before they win world titles.
Right.
So shout out to both of them. It's going to be a great fight. I know I'm excited for it, if it happens, or I don't know if it's official or not. You got to ask Evan Korn.
Finally, we will. He's actually in studio Friday. So shout out to Evan. He will be joining us in studio Friday.
Evan's got all the juice.
Yo, so I heard Michaela Joanna yesterday, Evan's girl.
Yeah.
Over there, Real Boxing.
I heard they had to bring about 4 fire trucks in there because, you know, it was chaos. Yeah, it was chaos. It was like a 4-alarm fire in there. I don't know. I didn't. But they spar. So, yeah, Joanna, shout out to Joanna and obviously Michaela Mayer. Danny, we discussed that the other day. She is a Fiji water fighter.
What the heck is a Fiji water fighter?
Frank. So
she's sponsored by Fiji Water.
Frank, break it down for
us. I did this before on this show, but I'm going to say it like this. You know, there's certain fighters, and it doesn't necessarily have to be Fiji.
Oh, I get it now.
It doesn't necessarily have to be Fiji, but one of the luxury brand thirst quenchers, water, Fiji being one of them. It started with Devin. And, you know, there's a couple guys that would come in the gym, and they'd see some Fijis in the little fridge in my office, and they say, hey, can I get one of them? And I say, look, you're not a Fiji water fighter. And then I have to explain to them why they're not a Fiji water fighter. You got to accomplish something. You're more than welcome to go to gas station, pay $3 to $5 for your bottle, but you ain't getting it here. So, but no, it's no disrespect, but I think there's certain things have to be earned. You know,
we used to drink water from the hose.
That's what I'm saying. So there's a water fountain.
Bro,
definitely
football
a water
practice,
fountain there as well.
Bro, football practice, you drinking water from the water tree. That
anywhere you can get it.
All you taste is the fucking PVC piping because the water's coming out of the PVC pipe. Come on, man. You know, but so Shakur's not a Fiji water fighter in a sense because
yeah, he asked in Fiji the other day.
Oh,
he of course 100% he is. That's if he
I know he's that caliber, but you said he don't like Fiji, right?
I mean, he'll drink it. Okay. I'm sure he drinks that over the Members Mark brand that we also have.
Yeah, you got that wild. I ain't never seen Fiji in the gym. I only seen like the Walmart water or whatever.
Bro,
but I'm appreciative because it get hot in there. I just want some water.
I like that.
It don't matter what the brand is.
I like to have some refreshments for our guests and our fighters. You know, not all of them want to hit that water fountain, even though it's purified or not purified. What is not purified? Yeah, it's purified. So they don't want to hit that. So we got bottles. It's nothing, you know. It's not.
What about distilled? Because we actually have distilled water here in studio. You want one?
I'm okay
water?
For now. I appreciate it. Thank
what
you.
About an espresso?
Got espresso here?
Yes, we do. All types of flavors.
He almost jumped out of his seat there.
No, yes, I'm just, that's impressive.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You ever have anybody sit here and drink an espresso while they were?
I don't know if they've ever sat there. I usually have one during the show, but, you know, it was a late start for me this morning. So, like, my coffee, I had it later, so I didn't really need.
You sounded a little groggy when I spoke with you earlier. I'm like, boy, still snapping or what?
I mean, probably. I was laying down for sure, champ. It was like 8 in the morning. I never get to sleep in.
It was a little later than that, but I hear you.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Funny story. So yesterday at like 6 o'clock, I'm laying down, and I call Frank.
P.M. or A.M.?
P.M. And I call Frank. I'm like, yo, we still on for the night? Champ's still coming through? He's like, yeah. Yeah, he coming through. So, you know, I make my way to the gym. It's like 7:15, 7:20. Me and Frank looking at each other like, bro, nobody's here? That's kind of surprising. I'm like, you should call Jack. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, he's usually the first one here. You should give him a call to see, you know, what's going on. Yo, he's like, yeah, man, I told you, no, we ain't training tonight. Look at Frank. I'm like, bro, what happened?
I didn't hear it.
What happened?
Yeah,
had me come to the gym for nothing.
That's
man.
Big, you know, that's a big mishap there. So, you know, I apologize to you, Danny, but I could have swore I didn't hear it. There's a lot of stuff going on that day.
Bro, and I brought him Starburst. Let me tell you.
That's it.
And I brought him Starburst.
But Frank was there.
Frank was there.
No, I was there. It was
Frank
in,
was there. It was
I
me,
was
Frank.
Under the impression we were working last night.
It was
night, so.
Me, Frank.
And that's it?
Cashflow showed up. Shout out to Cashflow.
We cleared the gym. So, it was, yeah,
I always forget how young Cashflow is. He's doing a great job to not even be 20 years old. I don't even think he's 19 yet, is he?
Oh, he's 19.
He's 19.
Yeah. But, yeah, a good thing about him, I'm going to say good thing about him, today he starts camp with Tension.
Yeah.
So Tension's in doing camp here at DLX.
You talking about the Tension?
Tension, the Japanese kickboxing champion at Paul Floyd. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
he's going to take a run at pro boxing.
Okay.
He's doing his camp here. He's got some really good sparring partners.
He looked good hitting pads and different things like that. And he wasn't terrible in the fight with Floyd, but he was in the ring with Floyd. So,
and he's a massive star
in
Japan. So, you know, he's out here. So Floyd's going to start camp with him today. And, you know, I mean, I don't know much about Tension's boxing ability, but I know Floyd's and, you know, Floyd and I don't know if I'm in liberties to mention the other guys that are in there, but I can mention Floyd. I think Floyd's going to go in there and tune them up.
Yo,
interesting.
I know it has to hurt to see a talent like Carmel Moten just in your gym, and he probably more than likely damn near guaranteed ain't coming to top rank.
You know, it's good to watch this young kid. He's 16, not even 17 yet. Don't even have his driver's license. Don't even know how to drive. But man, that kid's something special. I'll tell you, and it doesn't really matter. These guys will end up where they have to end up, and if it's meant to be that they're with top rank, then maybe in the beginning of their careers, not, you know, not when it's going to happen. So, you know, Carmel, he's always welcome. His family's always welcome. He's comes in and he spars. He's 16 years old, sparring world champions, former world champions, top contenders, and he gets down. So, you know, I'm a fan, and I look forward to, you know, seeing how far he goes and see him early in his career and getting down with these great fighters right now. It's awesome to see.
Boxing in Las Vegas isn't even at its peak yet. Like, it's still evolving. It's a whole lot of other amateurs as well. There's not as high as Moten, but they're high as well in the amateur boxing world, and they literally live here, like Kaipo Gallegos or whatever. I want to see some of those guys at top rank as well. I hadn't personally seen them, so they may have been there, but I would like to personally see them there training some as well.
I think Kaipo, I don't know if he's recovered. I know he had like a little injury. He's recovered.
I think
so he's
sparred yesterday for the first time.
So yeah, he's his dad. I don't know his dad, Jason,
mm-hmm.
really well. I've known him for years. So, you know, they're always welcome, but I think they do their own thing at their gym.
Right.
But if they ever needed work or we ever needed Kaipo to come through, I mean, it's just a phone call away. We got nothing but love for all, you know, all the gyms and all the trainers and stuff in Vegas. I got no beef with nobody. So,
yo, gotta ask. I'm sure you saw when we had Brad on the other day, right? Mm-hmm. Yo, how excited are you for Jarrett? Obviously, they got big things cooking for him. It seems like a homecoming main event is next, and obviously, the sky's the limit for him being so young and so much talent. You know, just your thoughts on what to expect since you get a real close look at him in camp.
Well, that was a good interview. I checked it out. And shout out to Brad Goodman, best matchmaker to ever live. You know, that's the guy that gave me my break in the business. So, you know, he's doing his thing. I know he's overwhelmed with everything he's got going on, all these fights coming up. And, you know, I know he's excited with somebody like Jarrett for the whole matchmaking team, Bruce Trampler, Evan Korn. It's he makes it easy for him. You know, there's some guys, I don't say now, we got a pretty awesome roster of great fighters, but there's some guys you don't want to test too early. And Jarrett's not one of them. Jarrett, you can put him in with anybody. And like I said, it makes the matchmaker's job easy and makes the network's job easy. And I said, I think the last time a few months ago I was on this show, I said, Jarrett Anderson's capable of beating any heavyweight in the game right now.
I said the same thing to Brad off camera like the other day when we got off. I was like, yo, obviously he has to prove it. you know, obviously Jared has to prove it. But I'm like, yo, anybody in the game, he could fuck with right now.
Oh, he's good. He's figured this shit out. So, you know, shout out to Jared. Only Jared can take Jared as far as he can go. You know, whatever, if there's any distractions or anything like that, you know what can affect fighters. There's been fighters out there, but Jared's got so much talent, so much ability, so much going for him, the momentum. I don't see nothing inside or outside of the ring stopping him.
Am I the only one that won't? Big Baby versus the real Big Baby, Jared Anderson versus Gerald Miller.
Is he taking over for Ness? Remember, it was like,
nah, I still want that fight. Like, it's a good fight for TV.
Yeah, all right. I mean, it's a good fight for TV. You got that right.
Not the most. It may not be the most competitive. I think it will be somewhat competitive.
I will say, I wouldn't mind that for the Toledo fight. And hear me out, right? Hear me out. Gerald Miller is supposed to fight Lucas Brown in a couple of weeks. Obviously, Jared is fighting April 8th. And then you make the real Big Baby for the homecoming?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Listen, Jerrell Miller, I don't think he's
reliable. That's the problem. He ain't a reliable guy.
And you know, great guy, just whatever the curricular stuff he was doing outside of the ring caught up with him. He apologized for it, I believe. I think he did. I mean, I think we should forgive anybody who owns up to, you know, anything that they do wrong. So if he did, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. And then I think we should forgive him and give him an opportunity to go at it clean. But, you know, the Toledo show, I don't know, man. I think his price tag might be a little too high for something like that, because let's face it, what really derailed his career was that Joshua fight, and he was supposed to make like some crazy money, and then he lost that because of a dirty test, and now now he's just hopping on these shows here and there internationally, and I just don't think, like, you know, the Jared Anderson, the real Big Baby train, bro, I think it's just running through anything that gets in its path right now.
Miller still got to get through Lucas Brown Brown's best win, though. So
yeah, that is true. Still got Lucas Brown. Lucas Brown had a big win.
Yeah, he knocked out Junior Fah. Yeah.
In Australia.
Lucas Brown's another guy who's tested dirty in the past. He lost. He had a WBA heavyweight title in the past, and he tested positive for some extracurricular. And he, you know, that's that. So you got to – listen, I like that kind of stuff. So I would say maybe if the winner – but what Brad was on here and he was saying, like, you know, you get him a guy with a good record, a nice showcase, you know, let the fans of Toledo, let his hometown, give them, I don't say hope, but give them something. They don't have a professional team, so give them something to be proud of. And I think Jared Anderson's the one. You know, there's Albert Bell. There's, who else is that? Tyler McCreary.
Robert
Easter.
Is O'Shea Jones in Toledo as well?
No, they're not. They're close, but they're not there. You know, you got Daryl Riley, who's an excellent coach. I think he's back today. You know, I'm hooking in the gym right now, so I don't know if he's there right now. But no, Toledo, you know, that's a breeding ground for talent.
Yeah, we got Alicia Bumgarner. I know she's from Fremont, but not too far from Toledo. She upsets your girl, so you know. It's a lot of talent out there.
You know what, though? Speaking of Toledo, I want to give a shout-out to Thomas Cornflake LaManna.
He's from Philly, right?
No, he's from Millville, New Jersey.
Why you give Cornflake a shout-out for Toledo?
I just peeked down and he sent me a text message. Okay. So there you go.
That's everybody's guy, though. We all love Cornflake.
Put him out there, Cornflake.
Shout-out to Cornflake.
If you say something bad about Cornflake, he'll literally call in the show. Even... We never know when
he's
watching.
Really, he will?
He's
a piece of shit.
Cornflake, go phone Frank real quick.
Piece of shit.
Phone home.
I was just trying to give you a shout out, but they said that. See, no, anyway.
Yo, obviously, you got no dog in the race, but what's your thoughts? Tank Ryan's finally official. Big fight.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to say I'm like giddy over it or anything like that, but guess what? That's the type of fight that boxing
needs
and it's getting done, and for the fans, awesome. I think it'll be a great atmosphere out here. Hopefully it is, and hopefully the fight actually happens. You know what I'm saying? So like I'm always worrisome that when these type of fights happen, somebody pulls out with injury or
would you have preferred,
legal trouble.
Would you have preferred it be at Allegiant Stadium, or it doesn't matter to
the No, honestly, and this is all due respect to every fighter out there. Every fighter out there is doing their thing. They're working hard, but I don't know if there's a fight right now that's going to completely sell out Allegiant Stadium. Don't get me wrong. That's
what's
a good
the seat
one.
In, what's the seat in there? I know Danny.
It's not too big, bro. I think it's like 68 or some shit.
I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're young.
Right.
They're young Hopping. Fighters. They're, you know, it brings in the youth. But then again, you still got to kind of cater to the boxing fans that have been, you know, the boxing enthusiasts that have been there for 30 years
yeah,
or whatever. You got to
like
give 70, them something.
Like 70 for boxing. 70,000. Yo, I'm kind of with you. I don't know that it would have sold it out. I think that's I thought that was the biggest fight possible for that venue. And I think it was the perfect fight for the venue. You know, they got the nightclub inside the venue. It's actually a Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
Wynn nightclub. Shout out to the Wynn Blue Wire Studios. But, you know, they have that inside of their brand new. Yo, you know, they just did after this season ended. Another like $75 million in renovations, so
it's a nice spot.
Yeah,
I like it.
Definitely a nice spot.
I saw the WWE there about 2 years ago, SummerSlam 2021.
You were there in person?
Yeah. It was great. Great experience. So it was, you know, it was pretty much. I guess it was sold out, but I don't know. I'm not certain. There's a fight, a single fight that does sell that out, but you know, let's give it a shot. How would it?
Shakur, obviously, making his debut at 35. Just saw him in the gym, just arrived in Vegas. What are your thoughts, man? How do you feel like he transitions up the weight class, the third weight class in such a young career?
Man, he's so good, bro. He's so good, Shakur Stevenson. There's nothing I could say about him. He's meant to do this boxing shit. So, you know, whatever division he decides to go up, his ability is going to take him far and take him to wherever he wants to go. So, no, Shakur is hella fucking good.
I just realized that Shakur's opponent actually stopped Nakatani. I didn't know that. I'm over here doing a little research, and I didn't realize he stopped Nakatani in the sixth round.
Yeah, no, I don't want to give out the game plan, but you got to be aware of this guy. He can punch from what he did to Nakatani. You know, Nakatani had been stopped by Loma, stopped.
Right.
You know, Teofimo couldn't get him out of there. But, you know, Yoshina, I guess, you know, clobbered him. So, you know, that you're only as good as your last fight. So getting ready for camp, preparing for it. Shakur, master defensiveman when it comes to boxing. You know, just you got to be careful with the punch that this guy's going to bring. And he has nothing to lose. He's coming from Japan. He's going to Newark, New Jersey, one of the, you know, the roughest places in the country. You know what I'm saying? It really is. And Shakur is going to have a raucous crowd like he always does when he's in the Prudential Center. And, you know, like I said, Yoshina, win or lose, he's got nothing to lose. Shakur's got to be there. He's got to perform. You figure, like, he's got a lot of stuff. And I'm not saying he can't handle it, but he's a dog. You gotta give a guy with a punch like him a shot. And that is me also selling the fight too. I think Shakur is gonna just, you know, mop him up. That's the ideal scenario, is Shakur just going in there and busting this dude up in front of his hometown crowd. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But Yoshina can sure punch.
Yo, fucking loaded card. Obviously Jared on the co-main. Keyshawn keep kicking off the telecast. Shushu on the card, Duke on the card, Troy on the card.
I love how they put the cards together. Second to none.
Kelvin and obviously Antoine on the card. Yo, right now Troy down there with Jesus Ramos. I think this is what, third camp down there sparring with him.
Yeah, they did. So the Ramos has opened up a gym in Arizona. So Troy's out there, but the last couple camps, Troy and Jesus were sparring, and that's, you know, that was a sight to be seen. They sparred every day. They were going 10 rounds. And
every just, day?
Every other
day. Oh, every day.
Every sparring day.
Every sparring day, yeah.
And going 10 rounds. And you just see two world-class fighters like Troy Isley and Jesus Ramos go at it. It's great. Great stuff. So, you know, much respect for them. They were in there working on technique and, and you know, just trying to get the best of one another. Nobody's in there. When you got two athletes, professionals, that go out there and they try to work on technique and try to work on things that they're going to potentially use in a fight with each other and kind of play like a preliminary chess match, great to see, instead of the guys going in there trying to decapitate one another.
Once again, you have no dog in the race, but Jesus Ramos, he's co-main event pay-per-view on the Plant Benavidez undercard against Joey Spencer. And I'm going to be honest with you, respectfully, but like they kind of...
Set Joey up?
Yo, it's kill or be killed. It's either you got it or you don't, man. I'm going to be honest. That's tough.
Joey ain't showed me he no killer, though.
And that's what I'm saying. So I think that, you know, Jesus is going to shine in this fight. But I just want your thoughts on that, because obviously you've seen him spar. You've seen him in there with Troy. Just your thoughts on Jesus.
Hell of a kid. Got a lot of superstar potential to him. But you mentioned he has to shine. He has to shine in this fight, I think. I think, you know, it is the co-main event officially.
Co-main,
okay.
Yeah.
So in that slot on such a good event, such a with a really highly anticipated main event is Plant Benavidez, he has to shine. Because I do tout him as being a future world champion, Jesus Ramos. So, you know, a dismal performance is going to get him another Joey Spencer's next fight. But an impressive, explosive performance, I think it'll, you know, he's knocking on the door of a world title shot.
Gotta ask.
But I like Jesus Ramos in that fight, for sure.
The main event, one I've been looking forward to for a long time. Once again, you have no dog in that race, but Caleb Plant, David Benavidez. How do you see that, Frankie?
I mean, look, I know Caleb, you know, being in Vegas all these years. I knew Caleb kind of early in his career. And, you know, for him, and I'm not going to go against, I'm not going to put my energy towards somebody I don't have a relationship with. So it is a 50-50 fight, I think, on paper. I think a lot of people are leaning towards Benavidez for a right reason. But you can't count Caleb Plant out of this fight. You can't. He's what's on the line for this? This guy does live and breathe this shit. Like, there's, you know, you guys been in the gym and you see fighters that are just doing it to make a few bucks. And there's some guys that do it because the money don't fucking matter. This is what they're born to do. Caleb, it's do or die. And it was do or die his last fight with Anthony Durrell. And in that instance, look what happened. You know, he had one of the best knockouts of the year. I don't want to count Caleb out. I suggest nobody count Caleb out. You know, I mean, as I know this Benavidez thing is popping right now, and, you know, I'm on board as well. But I'll make a bold prediction here on the Boxing Voice. Caleb Plant's going to shock him. I think he's going to stop him.
Oh.
I think he's going to stop
him.
That's a bold
prediction.
That's not only a prediction. That's a very bold prediction.
That's a bold prediction. But
I like it, though. I love it.
I'm going to say, like, because this is a big fight, and I just feel like everybody that's leaning towards Benavidez and counting Caleb out, man, this guy works hard. You know, he's if he loses this fight, I don't know what to say. Caleb knows that's it. That's his life. I know he has a family, but boxing, you know, if it's not ahead of family, it's very close to it.
If you put $100 on that, Caleb Plant is a plus 600 to get the knockout. So, you know,
I mean, look.
Put 100 on that.
Look, I was one of the only ones that picked Tommy Fury to win. And I didn't even say Tommy was going to win.
I picked Jake.
I didn't even say Tommy was going to win by knockout. I said Tommy will win a decision. It'll be, you know, somewhat close. But
why the fuck you ain't tell me that before I bet, Frank?
I told you. I told everybody.
When you start taking Frank's advice.
But I'm also wrong.
Or anybody's advice for that matter.
I take Frank's advice.
I'm also wrong a lot of times. When I take a severe underdog, I like the underdog.
So let me ask you, bro. Because that was a big event. I was saving that for the last. But, I mean, that was a top-ranked ESPN. Is these new individuals in Saudi that's really pushing for boxing, are they working closely with you guys? Because obviously you guys put on that event as far as the TV and promotion is concerned. So will we see more top-ranked ESPN events out there?
Which events specifically are you speaking of?
Nah, just in general. I mean, can we see that Devin Lomachenko in Saudi? Could we see some of these other big fights? I mean, Tyson Fury's been out the ring a minute, you know, and after what he did, I felt like he deserved the year he had last year. You know, but I want to see him back in there with somebody tough. Like, I want to see him in there with Usyk.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the whole contract details are and stuff like that, but it was I thought it was a great event. I thought it looked good, and shout out to Amer Abdallah, a good friend of mine. You know,
killing it.
Made it. You know, I'm super proud of him. You know, he was doing everything. He was commentating, interviewing, breakdown. He was hosting, and you know, and then a lot of people don't know everything that you've seen that was shiny and pretty. That was him, you know, and obviously everybody in Saudi Arabia had a piece of it, but this guy, he's a genius when it comes to this stuff. And as you can see, he's a hell of a talker. So good for TV and he's good for business. He coined the phrase, this is a business disguised as a sport, boxing that is. So shout out to him. And I hope that we can make more fights in Saudi Arabia. I know the top ranked staff that went out there, had a blast. You know, what an experience it was for them to go out there and be a part of that. And, you know, like I said, you saw everybody out there. It was like a party. So hopefully we get more of that. Hopefully the fights that, I don't want to say us, but just in general that are, you know, a lot of people are cautious to be, you know, promoters might be cautious to make in here because it could be a financial risk. Saudi Arabia wants to step in, throw a party, have that, you know, have all the people that live in Saudi Arabia show up and turn up.
Now, obviously you were there and part of the two winning Fury camps over Wilder. Mm-hmm. How was it for you just seeing that moment that they shared out there? Because for me, you know, I thought it was really dope seeing them do their thing and seeing them embrace after the three wars that they gave us.
Yeah, it was, you know, for being with Fury for his first two camps, Tom Schwartz, Otto Wallin, it was fun. We had fun. And it was, you know, I got to know Tyson and the rest of the team on a personal level. And it was then once the Wilder fight happened, the second, it was all business. So being a part of that, it's like I took it personal because I didn't like Deontay. I used to like Deontay Wilder before he fought Tyson Fury, but I didn't like him because we were in camp and I didn't want to be there. I wanted to have fun. I wanted to do what we did them last two camps. But for the second and third Fury fight, man, what we went through, I despised him. You know, I despised his team. Everyone except Malik Scott. Malik Scott's always, you know, that's my brother. So
he had a chip on his shoulder, man.
But we went in there. But you guys, like, gotta realize this. It was top rank versus PBC.
PBC.
Right. Biggest heavyweight fight. The second one going.
So you had to pick a – you had to
– It wasn't picking a side. We were – you know, not
was
just was
side.
I top ranked,
right.
But I was also Fury. So I got miserable. Like, I was miserable. Like, I couldn't tell you anything that was fun that was happening. I didn't sleep. I couldn't wait for it to be over. But the whole goal, the whole mission was to beat the shit out of Deontay Wilder and Team Fury on those two occasions were blessed to have done that.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, didn't you create the big Dosser stool with Wilder's face on it?
Yeah, so I have four stools. I created four stools. The first three were kind of generic.
I'm talking about created, like you carved it.
No.
Okay.
No carpenter.
You just created the design.
No carpenter, though. But no, I the last one put a face of you know, Mikey Williams, best photographer in boxing, hands down, and arguably the best in sports. That's my man. But he had a picture, and we were cooking up the idea on how to make the stool, not just a certain color. Well, I was doing it. I was matching Fury's trunks, the stool. I was just painting it whatever color his trunks were for him to match. But this one, we wanted to do something different. So the idea was, let's get a picture of Deontay Wilder's face and put it on the stool. So in between rounds,
For me to hear this. I'm listening, but I'm from Alabama, so I'm listening. It hurts to hear this, but I'm listening.
Guys, can I get a screen share, please, to see the stool?
Oh, man, it hurt to see, too.
So, yeah, in between rounds, I mean, listen, I'm not going to act like I'm like some Picasso, but it was good. It got a little buzz before the fight. And
the quality looks good.
So you put, shit, that's my hand. Yeah, it don't look that great. We're good, guys.
The quality look good.
So just to be clear, did you put like the glitter? Because it's like glitter.
Bro, I bedazzled. I had spray paint with glitter. I tried to really, it didn't. I honestly thought it was going to be, you see how nice and fancy this studio is. I was hoping it came out like that, but I'm a kid from South Philly, bro. So we try to make it work, it's like you make your bed, but it's still a little wrinkled. That's how the stool was.
Was this your idea or like did Tyson tell you?
No, it was my idea. Tyson just asked for a big stool.
So what was his thoughts when he saw the stool?
He loved it.
Flicking the camera.
Yeah, he loved it. They did.
Looked like he loved it.
There was the great thing is I actually have that stool. I have two of his for both Wilder fights that I was a part of, the second and third. I have both stools autographed, and there's a video somewhere. I don't know who has it, but there's a video of him signing it. And the crazy thing is, after the fight, I had somebody try to offer me $10,000.
Yeah, you're going.
And I was just so high off the night, like I was just like, we won. I got the stool. People were stopping me.
So the same stool he sat his ass on in the ring. Wow.
And signed.
Yeah, and signed. It was personalized to me. So, but somebody still, I said, look, it's personalized. I was like, I'll give you $10,000 cash right now. And I was just like, nah, I'll wait it out. You know what I mean? But and I don't regret not. I had somebody later on offer me.
It's going price only going to go
like
up.
Like $5,000. And
it's going to go up.
Just a lot of people had asked. I was actually I have another stool from the second Wilder fight. Supposed to give to the International Boxing Hall.
You got
fame,
a son?
So, Ed Brophy. Yeah, yeah, I got kids.
Oh, yeah. So your kids one day might
they
sell it.
They don't give a shit.
That's what I'm saying. They may sell it one day and it'll be worth a lot of money then.
They'll throw it in the trash before they'll sell it. But it means a lot to me. It's my probably my greatest piece of boxing memorabilia. Just because I have part in making it and it was the fight of the year that year.
I wanted to ask for it, but my guy getting beat up on there, I have to burn it if I had it. So
that's okay. I got
don't
you.
Give it,
I,
don't
I
give it to me.
Well, I still love you, bro. It's all good, man. It's nothing personal. It's just business.
Right. For sure.
Yeah, I was just telling you for the second one.
There's a lot of big asses that keep walking.
Bro, yeah, yeah.
Don't say that out loud.
No, you can say that out loud. I mean, they can't hear us.
They can't hear us, though. They pass. Like, I didn't want to say it. Like,
all
as they, 50 I know you
of them pass.
It, I mean, it's nonstop.
Bro, so look.
This Las Vegas, though.
Yo, why don't we just do play-by-play? Why don't we just, like, turn the cameras around and just, like, do play-by-play?
Guys, could we get a shot?
Fat asses that walk by.
Sound like the Discovery Channel, like we some type of pretty. Oh, here he comes. What up, bro?
It was good.
Yeah. So, as you guys can see, we actually have the side of the hallway.
A lot of beautiful people. Nonstop, all
day. It's the wind, bro. It's the one, so it's a lot of money in here. See, the buffet is right next door, and then you got the golf course and the villas down the hall. So
we got two F1 cars literally, like, next door.
Yeah, two McLarens sitting next door.
Yeah. So I see where the love for the F1 come from with Danny and all. Do you watch F1?
I'm Danny's getting me into it.
Danny getting everybody into it, bro. You changed.
Yeah,
you.
I'm inquiring about
the culture.
It. Yeah, I'm inquiring about it. Danny's my friend, so I'm going to support him. And, of course, I want to be a guest someday on the F1 voice.
On the F1 voice.
That's the name of nice midfield mindset.
Midfield mindset. I'm putting a link in the chat. Go ahead. Subscribe. Don't be a hater. Shout out to Frank in the building. Yo, am I missing? Yo, does it kind of hurt you? Because I know you've been close with Loma, and it's like, damn, now he got to fight Devin.
No, I was never close with Loma.
Never.
That's,
you just get him sparring?
I've done every – so, listen, this is funny. So, every camp that I don't just say get sparring, but kind of coordinated his camp. And I never was there in person. I was never there in person. Most of the times, he didn't even know who I was.
Right.
And then later on, Egus Klimas, kind of was like, this is Frank. He's done a lot for us, and Loma was cool with it. But every fight except Teofimo, he's won. And I didn't do any sparring for the Teofimo fight. So I don't know what the situation is with him and Devin. I'm close with Devin. I'm with Devin every day. So, without me saying anything. You know, the what's his name? Evan Korn uses the term, I'm Switzerland. And, you know, I professionally, I have to be Switzerland. But
I guess that kind of translates to being neutral.
But listen, I love Devin Haney. He's, to me, he's family. Lomachenko is a great fighter. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a legend. But, you know, I mean, I don't know what to tell you there. Devin's going up. Loma is going where he wants to go.
That's going to be a great fight.
Well put. Well, Frankie, unless you could think of anything else, Bo, I think that's it for
today. What's the guy from Germany? Dervin or you got the guy from Germany?
Oh, Devin. He's coming out.
He looks like Lomachenko.
Yeah, he's coming out. Were you there when he sparred?
Yes. I actually did see him spar.
Devrim.
We got some footage on the page as well. I got him. He was just doing some jump rope tricks and stuff like that.
Good fighter. And I hope, you know, there's kind of like, besides Xander, Edgar Berlanga, you know, Puerto Rico's starving for, you know, Puerto Rico was a hotbed for boxing. And there were so many great fighters that came out of there. They're not right now. So you got Xander Zayas. You got Edgar Berlanga. And there's a few others. I can't pinpoint right now, but then Germany, 10 years ago, they had, you know, probably a handful of world champions, and they were staging a lot of big fights.
Especially the big guys.
So Thierry Klitschko was out there.
All of Klitschko's fights.
Didn't Marco Hoop going down there. From there?
Marco Hoop.
He owned the cruiserweight division.
So with Devrim, he came out here. He's supposed to come back in March, and I'm pretty excited about that because he's a great fighter to watch. I'm hoping, you know, he's special. If you can get a chance to check him out, he only has 5 professional fights, but there's something special about him. And, you know, he's come out here to kind of get familiarized with the American style of boxing. It's what you have to do. Just
right.
Like Americans have to get familiarized with the European style of boxing if you want to be world level and elite.
I almost let you go. How the fuck I ain't asked? I'm glad I went to your Instagram. Looks like T.O. and fucking Josh Taylor, New York, in June. I know you, you pretty much the one that got T.O. signed the top rank. So,
I mean,
can he pull it off, man? Do we see T.O. return? Is it the takeover? Is it the take back? Does he become 2 division?
Do you have a relationship with Josh Taylor?
Yeah, I've interacted with Josh Taylor, say, more over the past 2 years than I have with Teofimo. So it's nothing against. It's nothing. I mean, there's no secret. I had and you know, it's still to me
a situation.
I still love him. No, I mean, the situation. It's just it's estranged. And no, Teofimo's a spectacular athlete. He's a great fighter. I mean, what he has done in you know, his career so far and being so young, it's amazing. You know, and Josh Taylor, I mean, listen, no, say what you will about whoever's up at 140 right now. Josh Taylor is that dude, bro. He is. No matter, say what you will, he let them belts go. He's sticking around instead of going up to 147. If Teofimo was going to Scotland, it would be, I think, a tall order for him.
So where will it be at?
New York.
It's supposed to be in New York. So I think that's going to be a great event. I know it's a fight. I know Josh hates Teofimo. I know Teofimo and his and Junior Lopez, they hate Josh Taylor. They've been calling him out. And let that shit happen. You know, it's the fight. You know, for years, the early part of Teofimo's career, they were calling out Lomachenko before he even had a fight. He only had a couple fights, and they were calling him out. We could beat him now. We're going to beat him. And they did. And never really heard him call too many other people out, but it was the one that they really wanted was Josh Taylor. And now they got it. It's not an undisputed title fight, but it's a fight. It's a grudge match. And, you know, if you've seen what Josh did with Jose Ramirez, you know, he brings the heat. Bro, he'll get in there and he'll use mind games, and he's a master at it. But that's a bad dude, Josh Taylor. That's a bad, bad dude. So I'm looking forward to that fight, and may the best man win.
What would you say? Is it 50-50, 60-40? You ain't got to say who has the larger percentage to win, but What do you think, 60-40 fight, 55-45?
Yeah, I'll say 55-45. You know, you just got to give Josh, his entire career has been
right.
140.
And he accomplished at that weight division as well,
and
to the highest extent by
exactly,
becoming undisputed.
Exactly, and he beat everybody, you know, that was there in the division, all the best fighters that were there in the division, and he's there now. But now some really good fighters, more good fighters have emerged, and he just so happens to be the guy. And Teofimo is going to get a crack at that, and I know that's what they wanted. And yeah, I say 55-45, and Teofimo has a great chance. It's in front of Madison Square, you know, it's in front of New York City, close to Brooklyn. He's going to have a lot of people there. So is Josh. Josh is going to have a lot of people there. And I think it's going to be a great event. It's going to be a great fight. And, you know, right now it's early, but leading up to it, you're going to see like the trash talk and people taking personal shots and jabs in there. But I'm just going to get my popcorn and kick my feet up.
Yeah,
you and me both.
I want to ask the fight I'm looking forward to, Michaela Mayer's return. Going in, facing Christina Lenarda, too, the only woman to defeat Alicia Baumgartner. Obviously, the two ladies have been going at it. And, you know, the first fight was a close fight. You know, it was a great fight. And I would definitely wouldn't mind seeing the rematch. But, you know, she's been in the gym, you know, just want your thoughts on her move up to 135 and, you know, facing a tough girl in Christina.
When you see Michaela Mayer walk by, you think, like, this is me. I'm just going to say she's like a movie star. You know, that's a star. And she's, as her career progressed, it's just more and more she has that presence. And that's that marketability type. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She walks into a room. You know, if you don't know she fights, you know she's something. You thinking she's an actress, a model, whatever, anything. And then once you find out she's a boxer, you're like, oh, shit, no way. But Michaela gets fucking down. She is the leader of women boxing being exciting. She is. She's not in a boring fight. She gets down and dirty. She gets fucked up. I remember we were in the bubble and she fought Hamadouche.
That's the fight that did it for me, that made me a fan of
her. Not Hamadouche. I'm sorry. I was there for that. That was at
Virgin.
Girl.
That was at Virgin, yeah.
Farias.
Hamadouche.
Farias. The girl
Erica
from
Farias.
Erica
the
Farias.
Latin, yeah.
So,
Argentina, yeah.
So we were limited. You know, you're limited to have as many people as you can. So she had a little wardrobe malfunction. Her strap on her sports bra was loose, so it kept falling down. And then they're like, all right, you're next. Erica walked out.
So this was before, because I was like, I don't remember that coming down during this fight.
So it's just me and her, and it's the stage manager.
Right, back
and they're ready to call her to walk out. And I'm just sitting there with her, and she's like, fuck, this shit keeps falling down. And she was like, well, what are you going to do? So luckily they had like some, you know, see how the studios, there's tape laying around. I don't know what kind of tape it was. But I went in there and I taped it and I sat and it was a good fight. It was a good fight. And I sat there and I watched throughout the whole, and I was sitting with Gabriel Flores Sr. And I was telling him what happened. And the whole time the thing kept, if you ever go back and watch the fight, it kept falling and she kept favoring it. And that had to throw her off. Like that had to throw her off in the fight because, you know, she don't want the thing to come down
right.
Or, you know, have that type of in it. But she fucking soldiered through that shit. Won and showed why she's that dude, bro. She really is like no matter what you think, you know, Alicia Baumgartner is a great fighter. I mean, obviously it's biased. I thought Michaela won, but it's a close fight. Sometimes you got to do more than that. So, you know, hopefully they get to run it back, but yeah, Michaela fighting the only person that beat
Alicia.
That's the way to get. That's just one step towards redemption. But my opinion, yeah, Michaela will beat this girl, and hopefully the rematch happens. And you know, like the dog that is in Michaela Mayer is going to come out in the rematch of Alicia Baumgartner, and it'll be it won't be disputed like a lot of people thought the first fight was. So.
And the only losses that Lenardo has is Katie and Delphine Persoon, Katie
mm-hmm.
Taylor and Delphine. So
legendary right. fighters right
Absolutely.
There. So, you know, so Bo, I know you're an advocate, but I know how big of an advocate Danny is. Danny will mention some of the women fights coming up, and I'm like, you know, I didn't even know it was happening this weekend. And it happens not just women fight, but some fights. But those girls are, you know, really setting out the asphalt for this. And thank God, you know, thank God. And a lot of people are saying like, oh, it should be 3-minute rounds, but I kind of like that 2-minute round.
Like
you get a lot of action, man. I mean, we'll see. I think an experiment should happen where they do it the 3 rounds and they just, but them 2-minute rounds. I mean, if we could get the men to do 2-minute rounds, I just think the action would be.
You got to bring it. You got to push
it. Would be so much more. It's like, you know, it's like an amateur fight. You got 3 rounds and you got to just go out there and score. And shout out to these girls out there doing their thing, putting it down for not just female boxing, but just boxing in general, bro. It just gives us something else to get excited for.
But they doing it in and out the ring. How they present themselves on their social medias, they all getting glammed up all the time. The back and forth between the fighters, they having like real grudges.
Well, it's not just the fighters. It's not just the fighters. You know, shout out to the women out there that are doing it on the business side, the promotional side. A lot of them that don't get credit for it. Like I don't want to mention names because I'm going to leave some out.
Right.
But you just go out there. They're really the brains. I was having a conversation with somebody today, and they were just like, you know, women are just so much stronger than men. And I was like, well, physically, some maybe, but you know, I was kind of getting into that. But then the way he had mentioned it, you know, the wits, you ever hear that the thing with a mother? And I'm not using this as, you know, a female thing, but if the kid was trapped under the car, the mother has been known to lift the car up. They have that. But the women in boxing, they don't get enough credit. And then, you know, one day we could, you know, if you invite me back and we'd have a show and we could just run down a list of names and I'll think of it. But they're right now they're the lifeline behind the scenes of what's going on.
I think it takes both, right? I think it is harder for the women. But, you know, when you have somebody like Michaela so well-spoken and very promotable, very marketable, same with Alicia, you know, I think the same with Jessica McCaskill. Sinesia is another one, you know. So, you know, a lot of these ladies are doing a phenomenal job. Clarissa, how the hell could I forget Clarissa Shields?
I thought you had said her, but that's always the first name.
Yeah, Clarissa Shields, you know, absolutely one of the pioneers for women's boxing, at least in the last 20 years.
You know? But what is going to become? It's going to become something bigger. And like I said, we got to, you know, the term is getting overused, but we got to give these girls their flowers now. Like,
absolutely.
Know,
no.
You know what I'm saying?
1,000%.
Like the Clarissa Shields, all the girls that came from 2016, I think that's when it really started coming out. And everyone that's coming after, fellas are going to have to step their shit up.
No, for sure.
And actually fight each other. That's the difference. And like the biggest difference is the best fighting the best in the women's. I know the divisions are smaller
and
whatnot.
Yeah, I was
going
to say the pool is a lot
the
smaller.
Money is not as much as well.
You
want
to see the best fight the best come to the top rank gym. We might.
Say that, you can say
that
again.
I'm just kidding.
No, you can say that again.
That's what
I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about the sparring. I'm just kidding. You know, there's a lot of good fighters that are there now. A lot are coming through, and you know, these guys, they size each other up, and believe it or not, they're prize fighters. This guy's been there making millions of dollars, but they won't hesitate to get down with no crowd, with no purse, and you know that's the real fighter. But it's not the fighter's fault. It's not. It really isn't. You know, some occasions it could be, but really it isn't their fault. It's the people that are
behind the scenes
and then financial, you know, the financial stuff to it. You don't want to take, a chance and spend too much money for something you're not going to get, a return in.
For sure. But Bo, we're going to wrap it up. Appreciate having you in studio, Frank. Definitely going to get you back here soon. Please, any social media for the fans to follow? The American Love Machine.
Yeah,
right?
American Love Machine on Instagram. I'm on there. I show love, so you know, hit me up,
ladies.
My content ain't really that great, but I'll step it up eventually.
Eventually.
But if you're in Vegas, stop by Top Rank Gym. Hit me up if you got my contact, or you can hit Danny or Bo up, and you know, sometimes a private where we can't let nobody in, but sometimes, you know, come through, come see, you know, what's going on.
Yeah, we just had a couple of our guys in there last week, so shout out to Frank for letting them through. Supermax was freaking out because he met Fernando Vargas.
Him on the picture.
Yeah,
shout out to the Vargases, Fernando Senior, Fernando Junior, Amato, and Emiliano, bro. That's the right now they're the first family of boxing, in my opinion.
Mm. Vargas Dynasty.
Well, on behalf of me, on behalf of the boss man who on vacation right now, sitting as GTO, Ringwalk Danny, and then Bo.
Yes, sir. Bo Mason _LV. Thank you, Frank, for coming through.
Thank you for having me.
I didn't expect you, but it was a pleasant surprise.
Let's go. Catch us on the next one, 6 a.m. Pacific, tomorrow morning. Arrivederci. We back. You know, use your discount code TBV, tell them we sent you, and we'll be back. Dirts. Morning, arrivederci. Ugas,
yes, I did see where they broke in Ugas' house,
bro. That's just
and he's
so
here in Vegas, right? He here in Vegas.
That's so unfortunate.